Warning, the topics about to be discussed may be sensitive to some listeners. Know that these topics are meant for a mature audience before continuing this episode. No beliefs are being forced. Please feel free to practice what you believe in during this episode, as long as love and good intentions are at the root. All walks of life are welcome to tune in, and any kind of discrimination is not tolerated. And finally, Gabby and Sarah are not mental health professionals and are not claiming to be. If you are experiencing mental health issues or in a crisis, please call or text 988 to seek out professional help. Listen at your discretion.
Hi, people.
Hi, friends.
Welcome, me, Sarah, and my blurry background to episode 4 of Enchanting Minds.
Four already.
It's going to be like, wow, 467 already. Wow. How are you doing?
I'm great. How are you?
Good. Is it snowing up in Halley?
It is. It is like heavy, large snowflakes.
Is this like the first time in history that Halifax is getting it worse than Cape Breton? I feel like this is a very rare occasion.
Yeah.
We were supposed to have snow starting tonight and then going into the day tomorrow, and it's all rain now.
Oh,
we're just getting a bunch of rain. Yeah, the first time in history.
I think here it's supposed to snow until tonight, and then it stops.
Okay, you guys can do it. Easy peasy.
Yeah.
So, Sarah, what are we tackling today?
Today is spotty positivity and sex positivity.
Spotty.
You
said spotty. You like morphed it into one word. But yes, we're talking body positivity, how we feel about our physical selves, as well as how we are doing physically, which is sex positivity. How you feeling about that?
It's a deep topic.
Yeah, is it ever. We're going to go into all of it, you know, the before, how we are now, and I don't want to spoil, but man, this is going to be an absolute roller coaster, and I'm sorry if I cry. This might be the episode where I have a full breakdown.
Get
the tissues off the side. Now, I do, before, like, Sarah's in charge of our spell today. Thank you, Sarah, for doing that. Before we do that, I just want to make it very clear, in case you can't pick up on the vibe already, we are going to be talking about body, maybe different disorders, talking about sex. I'm going to be talking about menstrual cycles, whatnot. If you are uncomfortable with any of these topics, this is not the episode for you. This is your chance to go listen.
We have three other great episodes. You can go watch those instead.
As of this recording, we have three additional episodes you are more than welcome to go listen to. But if those are conversations you're not going to want to have or you're not comfortable having, this isn't the episode for you. Because we're going all out. And I'm kind of excited, but really nervous. So, without further ado, Sarah is doing our spell today.
Yeah. So I have a self-love kind of spell. Now, looking at my little display here, it's a lot of stuff. So, nice. I'm going to start off with our jar, and I'm going to cleanse it. I just have some love spell incense.
Mm-hmm.
Say little things, let the negative energy out of it.
Get it out.
Get it out.
Get it out.
Let this burn for the rest of the episode or until it dies out. I didn't really plan about what each kind of herb means, but I'm just going to go through what I have and put it in.
Yeah, just what feels right.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So I have a little bit of rosemary here. I don't know if you guys can see it, but that's okay.
Sarah will prep photos and post them on our socials and whatnot.
Yeah.
We'll prep all that.
So we have a heaping spoonful of rosemary going in, some pink salt,
ooh,
which I have a crap ton of. So I tend to use that a lot.
I don't have any of that fancy stuff. I got table salt.
Speaking of table salt, I got some sugar.
Ooh. Yeah, for some sweetness. Ah, Jinx, you owe me a soda, huh?
And then we got kind of my favorite thing to burn is some cinnamon.
Yep, like cinnamon.
Don't inhale it because it is not great.
This is not however many years ago with the cinnamon challenge. This is not it.
We got some lavender, which if you never ever smelt lavender, it's literally
the greatest purple smell to ever exist in all of purple smells.
It's probably one of the cheapest too, because you can go to Bulk Barn and buy a giant bag of it.
I never thought about checking Bulk Barn.
Yeah.
We have one in Sydney and I haven't been in it for at least 10 years. So
a Bulk Barn?
Yeah, I haven't been in a Bulk Barn in forever.
And then I also have some rose petals going in, also making a giant mess, but hey, that's okay.
It's fine.
And finally going in is I have two small little tumbles of some pink quartz. There's the lid on. And then if you want to, you can seal it so that everything's inside stays inside. You can use a pink candle, a red candle. You don't have any fancy dancy candles. Yeah. You light one, same thing.
Your witchcraft is your witchcraft, and you do it how you feel is right for you. That is the beauty of witchcraft.
You don't have to follow the witchcraft rules. Whatever floats your boat. I do that on my phone.
Look at her go.
Try not to burn myself. Good enough. And there you go. Your little love spell.
Nova Scotia, a beautiful province with breathtaking scenery and attractions to check out. Now, what would happen if you had three goofballs trying to talk about Nova Scotia, as well as our own shenanigans? Join myself, Gabby, and my co-hosts, Brianne and Sarah, as we talk about some spicy topics on the interwebs and give our listeners a taste of our beautiful province. Check us out every second Thursday on Spotify and SoundCloud.
That? Robot blood.
I always knew the industrial age would end in chaos.
Be sure to tell the young woman that Mother sends regards.
Good night, campers.
You are trespassing on SeaWorld property.
What if these things can read our minds? They're gonna be awful mad when they get to me.
Welcome to the Video Cult. We're dedicated to bringing to light some of the most weird and wonderful movies you've ever, or never, seen.
Dead teenagers' brains.
Jamal, what's really in there?
Dead teenagers' brains.
Cult classics, B-movie masterpieces, diamonds in the rough. Join Josh, Gabrielle, and myself, Nathan, for deep dives and scene-by-scene breakdowns of these entertaining cinematic oddities.
Are you wearing a condom?
What?
No, I didn't think so. Well, this is a safe sex zone, sir, so you're gonna have to move along.
The first three episodes drop July 19th everywhere you get podcasts. Welcome to the cult. Dust off that VCR, and don't forget your popcorn.
Thank you. Have a nice day.
Dungeons and Dragons, Vampire the Masquerade, Pathfinder, Call of Cthulhu, and 100 more besides. Whatever role-playing universe you like to play or run games in, the desire is always there to become a better player or run a better game. Welcome to Playing the Role, a show dedicated to exploring the art of role-playing in the hopes of building better players and better games. Join me, Nathan Stone, a longtime game master.
They still, every time I run a game, will do something that my eyes kind of go wide and I'm just like, okay, that's a choice you made and now I have to deal with that choice. Thank you. Thank you for that.
And my friends, Darcy Robinson.
And so I ended up being a centaur that abandoned his post to run away from this life and got captured by these goblins.
Did you have to give them centaur pony rides?
Yes.
And Dylan Campbell.
I love being challenged, trying to get one under me. I love that. Yes, please, try, because I think I got all my bases covered. You can't get to me. I'm a fortress.
Who also happen to be longtime game masters, as we talk about everything that goes into making great games. the things you should never ever do, and how to take your gaming experience to the next level. We've been doing this for a long time, so there's plenty of stories to tell of great gaming moments, disasters averted, or just plain old disasters. Each episode ends with a challenge, a call out to us and to you to work our role-playing muscles by designing a character, NPC, or location within a certain theme. And of course, we share the results on the show. We hope you'll join our quest to become better players and run better games here on Playing the Role. Available on YouTube and everywhere you get your podcasts.
So, we'll start from the beginning of our lifetime, we'll say. Like, when you look at your younger self, like, as far back as you can go, do you feel like you were always kind of negative towards yourself? Were you positive towards yourself? Were you kind of 50-50?
I feel like when I was younger, like, younger Sarah was kind of carefree. Like, growing up, I didn't have TikTok, Instagram, any of that to, like, show me different body types. So because me was all I kind of knew, I wasn't comparing myself. I didn't have any negative thoughts about my body at all.
Yeah, I agree with that. I feel like social media now plays a huge, like a vital role into how girls feel about their bodies. And I don't know, like, I feel like even as a kid, I don't know what it was. I always just felt insecure about something. Like, I was never 100% in love with myself.
No.
When I was trying to think back to, like, my younger self, have you ever seen, like, the old Disney Peter Pan? Like, the cartoon?
No.
Okay, well, there's a clip in there. It's in the beginning of the movie with little Tinkerbell. And she's looking at herself in the mirror. She's, like, turning around. She's, like, feeling herself, whatever. And then there's this scene where she, like, she takes her hip and she measures it. And then she brings it to her front so she could see, like, how wide her hips look. I feel like watching that, I did that to myself a lot. Like, there was times I was sitting on the toilet and I would take my thigh. And I would, like, measure out my thigh. And I'd be like, ooh, that's so big. And then I'd be like, that's as big as, like, the toaster. That's as big as whatever. So I don't know where I learned these kind of negative, really mean tactics, but I feel like I've always kind of just had it. And even going into, like, junior high, like, I feel like junior high was, like, the lowest of the low, because, you know, you're starting to become that anatomy human that you are. You're developing stuff. You're changing. Your vocal cords are changing for men, other kind of stuff as well. And yeah, I kind of draw a blank because I'm just so, like, shaky and nervous. But I think just being queer as well, I feel like that just made that kind of spiral because I didn't know how to feel. I didn't know who I was. And it's like, well, how do you know how to feel when you don't even know who you are, kind of thing?
I get that.
Did you find, was there like a point in your life that was the lowest? Junior high, high school,
college? Yeah, junior high, into, like, high school too, because you would see, like, people, girls from me, like, who kind of, like, I don't know how to word it, but, like, they grew up different, you know, like, things were developing faster for them. Like, they would eat something and then not feel like they, like, gained 10 pounds. Like, for me, like, I would look at a cookie and then there's, like, 5 pounds added to me. But they didn't have that kind of problem.
Yeah.
And I think at that point in my life, too, that's where I really started comparing myself to other people.
Yeah.
Because
I feel like junior high too, that was when you started really progressing into your gender and how you feel. Like, the women were pink everything, Barbie everything, makeup. You're experimenting with makeup at that point. Like, boys, it's like you're trying different sports. You're hanging out with the guys and you're doing these things. And I just kind of felt like I was neither. Like,
yeah.
So I feel like that kind of built a lot of the insecurity there. But looking at yourself now, do you feel like the insecurities, if you have any, do you feel like they've gotten, like, more manageable? Have you been able to manage the insecurities? Or do you feel like that's worsened than you're working on it? Like, where do you think you kind of stand now?
Now, like, yeah, I still have insecurities. But like everybody's different. Everybody's built different. I've been taught a lot and I've learned a lot, like not to compare myself to Victoria's Secret swimsuit models.
Yeah.
Because your body's just not built like that. Some people can do that. Some people cannot. And I'm one of those cannot.
Yeah.
But like there are days where like I'm scrolling through TikTok and I see a lot of like muscular women or like Gymshark athletes. And I'm like, I want to look like that. Like that's what I want to look like.
Yep. With the negative, there's always a few positives. Like there's always going to be people that are going to be like, you should look this certain way. But with that comes, you know, like having muscles on your arms, having muscle on your leg, like that's not quote unquote your average female anatomy built, but you get more of that now with social media, and that kind of stuff is just so incredible. And I hope young girls lean more towards that than they do that, than you know, the bar, keep, whatever. Whatever I'm trying to spill out.
Yeah.
I have a spicy question. I won't judge you no matter how you answer this. Do you feel like one gender experiences it worse than the other? Just the insecurity, the self-loathing, the anything? No?
No. Like, I have a 17-year-old brother right now, and he's the same way. Like, he has friends who, like, are muscular, and he is, no offense to him, he's a little scrawny. Yeah. He's the same way. Like, he sees his friends, he sees, like, people online, like, big muscular 17-year-olds, and he's like, oh, I want to look like that.
Yeah.
But I can't, you know?
And it's hard to, like, I think we were talking briefly before about, like, you said, you look at a cookie and you gain, like, 5 pounds. Like, diabetes runs big in my family. So like I'm the same. When I look at, like, for God's sakes, a crumb, I gain like 10 pounds instantly. And right now I'm experiencing a lot of health complications. So my weight has just been like, we're going all over the place. Like the depression will kick and then I'll lay in the bed and then I'll lose 10 pounds. No problem. And then the anxiety will come in and everything else, like the overwhelming of the emotions. And then I binge eat and then I gain like 15 and then I go back down 5 and then I'm up 10 and then I'm down whatever. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So like it's just, I'm still on this massive journey of no matter what my body is at in this exact moment, this is at the bottom line, everyone, this is the body that you're going to get. You're not going to wake up and get a different body the next day. This is the one that you get. So, you just kind of have to find your own way of just loving it, appreciating what it does, et cetera, et cetera. I don't want to, you know, be in your face. And I don't want to force you to talk about anything if you don't want to. But before I blab, do you find that there's certain things you want to talk about that maybe you feel more insecure about than other things?
Like body-wise or just in general?
Body, we can even start if you want to transition into like sex. Is there certain things that you feel most insecure about? If you look at the two, if you look at one individually?
Mostly like looking at me now, like my gut, like my stomach, my thighs. I'm, like you mentioned earlier, like whole measuring, comparing. I still do that. I used to call them thick, and now I call them thunder thighs. Because you're little thunder thighs. But like, even now, like I've grown so much and like not comparing myself. But like when I look at my gut, and like I sit down and like, you know how it like hangs over, wrapping that with my fingers and being like, oh, look, I can lose that much.
And I'm or, the exact same way. What is it, like a muffin? My muffin top? I just want it like not to be too graphic. But I, like, it's the intrusive OCD thoughts in me that literally just want to take a knife and just cut it out of my body and then just sew it back up. But it's like, every female anatomy person has it. It's a normal thing. We all have a pouch. Every single one. Like, yes, they all look different. Don't get me wrong. But we all have it. It is storing healthy things that our body needs. So why in the goddamn Jesus Is that the part of the body I hear women talk SHIT about the most? And I'm so bad for it too. And it's like, but why do we do it? Like, we're like, our body's doing what it needs to do. And like, if you go a little further down underneath my stomach, like, this is the part where right now I feel I'm the most insecure about. And is it okay if the floor is mine for,
yeah, go
for
ahead.
A couple minutes? Okay.
Yeah.
So I'm gonna say that it started last summer. But to be quite frank, I feel like that this has been a thing that's been going on since the beginning of time for me. My, like, we're talking about menstrual cycle here now, guys. So if this is the part you don't wanna listen to, goodbye. Or I'll put a thing to skip ahead and you can catch up whenever we're done the conversation. But I've always had a weird period. And I didn't realize that it was weird because I never had like a big conversation with another female about menstrual cycles. So what I was experiencing, I thought was a normal. And we're talking like, you can read your boxes, guys, on your pads, your tampons. It'll tell you lasts up to whatever. I would buy the ones that would last me 8 hours.
The purple ones.
You know, wouldn't even last me a half an hour. And it was to the point where I didn't want to leave the house. To this day, I refuse to wear light color pants. I refuse to leave my house. I shut down completely. And like the pain that I was enduring was intense. Like stomach, body would ache, headache, all this mayhem. So to bring it back to last summer, I found out that my iron was extremely low. My magnesium was really low. We couldn't figure out what was going on. I had mono in the beginning of the year, so me and the doctor assumed for a while the mono causing it. So I tried different things. Nothing was really working. So a few months back, went to the emergency room. Listen, from start to finish, told the doctor, from the mono to the low iron to the mental health to the whatever, this is what's going on, and I am in so much discomfort right now. And the doctor was like, well, the mono isn't gonna start now, even though you've been experiencing this since the days of yore. And you don't just have low iron for the sake of having low iron. Like, let's figure out what's going on. Ran a bunch of tests, and I still have to go for a ultrasound to 100% confirm it. But my doctor thinks that it is something that is called endometriosis, which, if you shorten it, is endo. So I will give you the textbook definition from Google. And it states, endometriosis is a disease in which tissue, similar to the lining of the uterus, grows outside of the uterus and can cause serious pain in the pelvis. So, ladies, imagine your happy little thing. And imagine a bunch of red freaking patches scattering around. That's all bonus tissue that we believe is currently on my uterus. So creating double the amount of flow that my body is trying to get rid of is the toxins that it's trying to get rid of. And with that makes me less likely to get pregnant, which is a whole other thing that I'm trying so hard to wrap around. Because I never actually thought that I would want to have kids. But I think in my brain I always kind of did. And then I didn't really want to admit it. And I'm talking to a therapist. Thank Jesus I'm talking to a therapist. And you need to go talk to a therapist. Everyone needs a freaking therapist. Okay? I don't care if you've lived wherever. I don't care how you grew up. You need a therapist. Everyone needs a freaking therapist. So not the moment that I was diagnosed, but a couple days after, I had an appointment with my therapist and I told her, and just like, we're talking, I almost collapsed to the ground. I was crying so hard because I didn't think I would want kids. And then it was like that thing was getting taken away from me so quick. And my therapist said, she's very blunt. She's a blunt, she doesn't care lady. She's like, you're talking stupid. So
sometimes you need those people in your life.
And she is that. She's like, you're talking dumb. Look at me in my eyes right now. I got up. She was like, my daughter has endometriosis. She was diagnosed in 2017. In 2020, she gave birth to a beautiful baby boy. She's like, anything is possible. Oh my god, I'm a fucking mess. She's like, anything is possible. She's like, don't let it get the best of you. She's like, you know what it is now. Take action now.
Yes.
And that's what I'm trying to do. I'm on a few medications for it. And I'm trying to build a tolerance for it now, because with the new medications comes different side effects that I'm not used to. So building a tolerance, trying to wrap my brain around the new normal. This is where we're at now. But to bring it back to you so I stop crying. Did you have a healthy conversation about education and sex and whatnot?
No. I'm trying to be quiet because my parents are home. But like, I'm not the kind of person that likes to have those conversations. I get awkward and I kind of like shut down. So most of what I know about like sex, I've learned from my boyfriend. And my periods is another thing like I shut down about. Like hearing you talk about your flow, it makes me kind of believe that mine is not normal either. Because those 8-hour pads don't last me 8 hours. Yeah. They last me probably an hour. That's about it.
Part of my language, get that shit checked.
But yeah, it was never really something I had growing up. I don't know, it's just because my parents didn't want me doing it or didn't want to talk about it.
It could be so many different things.
Yeah.
Like, it could be that own person's insecurity and not wanting to have the conversation. It's like, it's not a fun conversation to have by any means. Like, just avoiding it. Like, it could be anything. Like, I got taught how to put a pad on, and then everything else, the school system and myself taught me. So, I understand. Do you feel like Daniel's been, like, supportive of all of that? Like, has he been a good rock and helping you kind of navigate that kind of stuff?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
We love that. See, I had a few different partners. You know, some obviously way better than others. My current one, Alex. Praise God. Best one yet. By far the best one yet. Everyone else before, you know, they've had their pros, they had their cons. I'm not sure if I'm 100% ready to get into some of the negativity of some of them. But, you know, yeah. But you learn from it at the end of the day. You find somebody, whether it's a friend, whether it's a partner, like having those conversations are so important. Here's a silly little one. You don't have to go too, you know, drastic into it. But do you feel like you're at a place now where you're satisfied?
Yeah.
See, all important conversations to have.
Exactly.
You know, Alex isn't feeling 100% right now either. You know, they're going through their own physical struggles. So, you know, we're not as active. And honestly, I think I was at a point where, like, I was very addicted to sex. Like, I feel like I heavily relied on sex to feel emotion. And then it was like, oh, you're telling me not everyone whacks it off like 3 times a day. Like, what? What do you mean? I'm one of the few that do what? So I feel like with them, like, not feeling well, obviously I never want my partner to feel like crap. I would love Alex to feel 100% every day. But with this experience, I feel like it's taught me, well, that what you were doing back then wasn't normal, and trying to find healthier ways. And me and Alex talk about the feelings and work through it in a healthy way, which everyone should do.
Yep.
Hi, I'm Michelle McIntyre, owner and co-founder of Ignite Fusion Fitness. I wanted to create this podcast so that everyone could unlock their inner fit bitch. It's time that we broke out of those misconceptions and those chains that get put on us in life, and know that movement and being fit is a gift that we give ourselves. You deserve the best version of your body possible, whatever that is to you. I've taught fitness for over 30 years. That moment when my client does the thing they thought they would never be able to do, whether it's that first push-up, that first pull-up, that first turn, that first invert, that light, that spark in their eyes, then they look at you and you look at them and you go, yeah, it's all right. It's okay to be proud of yourself. Yes, you did that. And that moment is a gift to you, and it is a gift to me to see. It is the reason why I love what I do. I hope this ignites that inner fit bitch so that you get started, you break out of your fears, that you start moving, that you start taking a new class. Get out there and start being brave. And maybe that's it. Maybe this helps switch that on button for you from being afraid to try something new to flick. Fuck yes, I am gonna try something new. Join me on January 9th for You Can Be a Fit Bitch 2, available wherever you get your podcasts.
Do you like stabbing the stand with a hunting knife while side-eyeing the wife of your stalkee?
Do you like sabotaging water slides to avenge your son?
Have you or any of your coworkers incited criminal arson upon your person?
Are you torn between two worlds, e.g. the life of a lawyer and that of a lifeguard?
Then we implore you to listen to these curated clips.
Take her under your wing. Guide her. Show her the way.
See, the great lady's always been my mistress.
Trevor Cole, shark fighter and virgin converter.
Hey, you don't pass up one victim for another one. Not in my water or anywhere. You got that?
Craig, why are you doing this to me?
Damn it, now stop it!
The poem?
Tell me the poem.
Like what? Like a power ski, man.
If any of this or that was appealing to you, then you might be Baywatched.
We got some shadow work stuff. I feel like mine's the first one on the list.
Yeah.
Yeah. So describe a compliment or a kind remark that someone made about your body. And like, how did you feel after a said compliment? Do you really feel like you ended up taking the compliment, shoving it aside?
This actually happened yesterday. It's funny. So like every morning at like 7:30, I go to the gym with Daniel before I work. It's just like accountability keeps us both going. Anyways, so I'm there like doing like my bicep curls, whatever. And this old guy, we're friends, whatever. He comes up, he goes, wow, your biceps really popping this morning. I'm like, what? I'm like, what? Because you're putting on some muscle, you're getting jacked. And I was like, oh, you.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I mean, we love people at the gym boosting people at the gym.
Yeah.
Like, I didn't really see that that often in my times at the gym. So when I hear about it, I'm like, yeah. I need to do that more often. I like that.
I feel like past me would have been like, oh no, like I gotta go like do some cardio, like try to like slim down.
Yeah.
But like now I'm like trying to put on as much muscle as I can. I'm like, yeah.
You go, Glen Coco, you go.
Yeah.
My compliment isn't necessarily like a physical one. I can't really think of a physical compliment I received recently, but you know, I've talked about before, I take care of my nan, and right now I'm also kind of taking care of my mom because my mom had a nasty fall, broke her hip, yada yada. She's recovering for the next 6 months, so I go over when I can to help her out.
Yeah.
So like yesterday I was taking care of her, I was cleaning the house today, I was over at my grandmother's, I was cleaning up my grandmother's, and I went back to my mom's to grab my things to leave. And my mom was like, you are just such a caring person. And I feel like I'm just really bad at compliments. Like, I'm really, really bad, but not like in the typical way, like not in the insecure way, but it's almost like my brain just, like, sometimes I just get so wrapped up in things that, like, I don't sit with the emotion and feel with it for a bit. Like, it's just kind of like a thing that somebody said and I'm just listening to it. So I just kind of hit him with, oh, thanks.
Yeah, I'm not a great, like, response giver. Like, if someone gives me a compliment, I'm always like, oh, no, it's okay. I'm never like,
no, really, it's fine. It's fine. No, because it's almost like it's just like if anyone else like talks to me, you know, like I don't know, like I feel like emotions sometimes can be really hard for me. So like I'll just it just sounds like someone else just saying literally anything, like I like cookies or something. I'm just kind of like cool because I'm just kind of there like thank you. So my mom said this really nice thing to me and I just kind of went thanks. And then I just grabbed my things and then I left. Like, I feel like that's something I gotta work on is be able to actually just, like, stop. And it's like, hey, you, someone said something nice about you. Can you feel a little appreciation for that for the sake of you?
Yeah.
Yeah. So the next one is you, I think. So you can read it.
How do your insecurities affect daily life, whether that be relationships or self-esteem, etc.?
So with the previous thing, the endometriosis that made me cry, it's like, I don't really think about the endo unless the period is here. And yeah. Big shocker, I know, I'm currently on it. Wow. Wow. But like on days like today, it's really freaking hard. Imagine like what I felt today. Imagine somebody took every bone out of your body and you're just kind of left like a pile of gelatinous muscly tissue built jelly.
Yeah,
I feel like walking jelly. My body just feels light and achy and I can't lift myself up. Like the headaches are intense. Like I get random shooting, like, it's like someone just takes a knife and it's just like, you know, right at this exact hour, we're feeling ovaries. And they stab a knife right in there and then I'll feel it for like 10 minutes and I need to sit down. It's like, okay, and right now we're going to go for ribs. Then I feel it in my ribs and it's just intense shooting pain. So physically, when I'm on that, it affects everything. And with my brain being fast, I don't just sit down and work through the physicalness. I just keep going because my brain's got to go. So I feel like sometimes my family, my friends, Alex, they feel like I'm mad and that I'm snappy. And it's like, guys, I'm just trying to work through this pain. Just bear with me. So I feel like that does affect people around me. And it's affecting the self-esteem because obviously with the physicalness of it, I'm not able to, like, doing stuff around the house. Laundry, taking things down two flights of stairs takes me longer than it normally would. So then it's like, can't even do laundry. You must suck. And it's like, no. So again, it's just taking that minute and just, I'm still learning to do that. So people listening, I know I'm not there, but I'm working on it. This question here felt like a nice, fun little thing and also kind of important to kind of ask. Describe an outfit that you currently own that makes you feel and look freaking good in.
This was probably the hardest question ever.
Come on, give me an outfit. Give me an outfit, Sarah. What you got? What you got in that wardrobe?
I have a pair of jeans that I like to wear with like a black romper. I think that's what it's called. Really good, like diaper clips.
Oh, like a bodysuit?
Yeah, bodysuit. Yeah.
Got you, yeah.
And then I have like a gray brownish cardigan that was my mom's. I throw that on. I feel like a badass woman.
Mm-hmm.
So
We love that for you. Going back to my personality disorder, I kind of have two completely polar opposite answers to this question because in a sense, I have three personalities right now that I'm able to identify. And one is very heavily masculine. So right now we're clearly in that personality and this kind of outfit is what makes me feel good. Normally it's a snapback, but I got a ball cap instead to replace it. I believe Brian actually gave me this snapback. So thank you, Brian. I love a good like baggy sweater. Don't get me wrong, but I have some flannel shirts. When I wear a flannel and like a band t-shirt underneath, I'm at my peak, you know, pair of boxers. We feeling it. Now, the female that we all know and love, Gabby. I haven't worn a romper in a long time, but something about a romper. there's actually one that I've been eyeing. We have an SPCA thrift store here. I've been eyeing it for weeks now. I just need to go and freaking buy it. But it's this beautiful gray one-piece long panted romper. And it's got a cute little tie in the front. Ugh! Something about a romper. And like an occasional, depending on what it is, cardigan. Cardigan's also very nice.
So our last one. What's a hobby / activity that allows you to express yourself and feel good in your body?
So, obviously, it was modified because of the pain and the everything else. But my parents do have a little gym in their house. When I work out, I feel freaking amazing. And I'm sure you know that feeling. But I stopped working out for a long time because, gym memberships are so expensive, obviously. But with my parents having their own, I've just been taking advantage of that. And when I'm working out, I just feel so on top of the world.
Yeah.
And because it is in my parents' basement and they don't care, I am just blasting the most energetic music at the top of the volume. And I am just going. And nothing makes me feel more proud and more happy than getting through a workout.
Oh yeah, I feel that too.
Do you have a go-to?
A go-to
machine. A go-to machine that you're just like, oh yeah.
I like the squat racks.
Squat racks.
I put my thunder thighs to use.
Listen, we love meat on the bones.
Yeah.
Meat on the bones. Oh, Bush, that was the episode.
I thought last week was deep. This is deeper.
Yeah, I feel like it just gets deeper and deeper from here, you know? Is there something that you wanted to talk about that we didn't get the chance to? Or even a little message? Just because this was such a deep convo that, you know, we want to make sure everything is wrapped nicely in a big, pretty little bow. Maybe even
I guess I would say, looking back on, younger Sarah and, school-aged Sarah, the people that you see in the magazines, people that you see in your classes, stop comparing yourself to them.
Yeah.
Because you're one of a kind, you're beautiful, and what other people look like does not matter to you.
Yeah.
Because you are one badass, I don't know if we're allowed to swear here, but you're one badass bitch, and you're not going to see that until later in your life. But stop wishing you were something else, because you're freaking fantastic.
Yeah. What's that Mr. Rogers song where it's like, he sings about he loves you just the way you are? It's like,
no.
I'm telling you. No, everyone listening and Sarah, go on YouTube. I can't remember the exact name of the song, but Mr. Rogers, like a quick little 1 minute, 30 second song. And it's literally just him singing. He's just like, I love you the way you are. I love your eyes. Like, it's not like romanticizing, because obviously it's for kids, meant for kids. But it's like, what you are is perfect, which is exactly the point. It's like, you're never gonna see another human, another entity that is exactly the way you look. That's freaking cool. So spread the love. Love yourself. Love your physical self. Love everything about you. Erebusin, where can they find us?
You can find us on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook at Enchanting Minds, or Enchant Your Minds, which I think our Instagram is.
That is the hashtag. So if you're watching our videos and whatnot, use the hashtag Enchant Your Minds, all lowercase. And check us out on YouTube and wherever you get your podcast from. Thank you for listening. Bye.